All right, what's going on, everybody? This is Justin back for episode one of the 20-something podcast. I'm here with my friend Alana Lee.
We've
known each other for about, 7 years now, I would want to say. Met in high school junior year. We were the friends that were, like, we knew of each other for a very long time, but never traveled in the same friend group.
We were never friends in high school. And then, like, our senior year, we got close randomly. Yeah. Like,
randomly hit me up before senior year started.
Yeah.
And then that pretty much put together, like, a big part of our high school friend group. So
that was, and we're all so close.
That was still dope, yeah.
You were too cool for me in high school.
I was not
too
cool for you.
That was, you were, like, a football star.
You were alternative. You were that alternative hipstery type vibe.
I was just a troll.
That's very true. But now, yeah, we're here now, a year removed from since you graduated.
Yes.
And we're still friends.
Coming up, I think, 2 years at this point.
Yeah, pretty much.
A year for you.
Yeah, pretty crazy. Yeah. Time flies.
Yeah.
So, yeah, moving forward, first episode, we're talking about your first job transition. So, typically, a lot of times people are going to be focused on their first internship or their first job, but don't really think about the process that goes through moving from that first-time job to the second. And I think that's going to be a really important topic, especially for people in our age group, because, you know, people move around a lot in the job world now, especially at our age. So, you know, it's going to be cool to get your insight on everything.
Yeah.
So,
I'm like 2 weeks into my new job, and honestly, it was like a journey to get here.
Yeah.
Yeah, I feel like most people my age now are like in their first job still out of college, and like it's so different getting your first job versus getting your second job. Mm-hmm. It's way more different. So like I'm really excited to like share more details about that.
Yeah, she just got a job at LinkedIn, so shout out to her. all of you guys can clap behind the screens on this one. But yeah, I mean, like I said, she's working at LinkedIn right now, very new to the position. She graduated from SLO in 2018. Business administration and management.
Right? Business and finance.
Business and finance. Yeah. Okay. So yeah, just why don't you want to dive into them a little bit?
Like, yeah.
You know, give a little bit more detail on yourself. You know, your position and everything. And we'll get started.
Yeah. So this is like career focus. So I guess I can talk about like how I got my first job really quick. And then of course the majority of this will be on how I got my second job. But my first one was like, so it was kind of like I did work really hard to get my first job because I was business finance again. But I knew after a couple internships that I didn't want to do finance at all. I didn't want to do like accounting or anything related to that. So I wanted to like kind of up level into like a more strategic role. So in my senior year and the summer, not the summer, but during my senior year, I like taught myself certain like languages. Like I taught myself Tableau and SQL because I knew I wanted to be in analytics. And I wanted to get out of the finance world, kind of.
Mm-hmm.
So I taught myself skills on the side, and it was like I self-learned them. And then that's kind of how I landed my first job at Cisco as a business analyst. And then I knew going in, but I never really saw Cisco as like my end game. So even there, when I was there for like a year and a half, a little over a year and a half, I like also worked on like up-leveling myself throughout that time so that my next step would be like a place that I want to be permanently or a place I'd want to be for a while, because I knew I wasn't like gonna be happy at Cisco just based on like the culture and the company as a whole kind of. And I knew I wanted to be in like a more exciting place, like a younger environment, a more innovative company. So I kind of knew that from the beginning. So I like throughout the time I kept like that end goal in mind kind of, and I just like took steps necessary to make sure that once I left Cisco it would be somewhere like really cool and really exciting. So I'm like super happy to be at LinkedIn, but I definitely feel like I like put in work, but I definitely didn't do it on my own. So
Yeah, and I think that's something that a lot of people don't think about a lot too, because obviously like, you know, your first position out of college is something that, you know, you obviously want to have some type of interest, right? Or be on this like a similar track of what you want to do, but that doesn't necessarily mean that that's where you want to end up. And so I think that's good that, you know, letting people know to think about you know, what's going to be next for them, because, you know, chances are like most people nowadays don't stay at the same company for 20 years and work their way up the ladder to a certain, you know, a certain track. So I think being okay with understanding that, you know, you might not be here for very like not very long, but you won't be there for an extended period of time.
Yeah.
And, you know, being able to do professional and self-development to kind of make yourself a better candidate for other people in the future is dope. And
like, so, props to you if you're at a place right now that you want to be at for a long time. Like, you're the lucky one.
Very true.
Yeah, like, some people I do know, they like love what they're doing now. They love the company they're at, and they see it as kind of their end game. So I think that's cool.
Mm-hmm.
But most people, I think, are like
our
age, like, usually want to stay.
That whole millennial look now.
Yeah, exactly.
Like, we, like,
2 years
and out.
Span.
Yeah.
So
for you, so you pretty much knew, like, going in when you started working at Cisco, that, like, you were not gonna stay there.
Yeah.
You know, past, you know, X amount of time.
Yeah. Okay. I definitely saw it as a good stepping stone. I was like, Cisco is like pretty credible, it's a pretty good tech company, but it's not like where I want to be. Mm-hmm. You know,
and I think, well, going into that, some people would ask, you know, in the sense where you knew that you weren't going to be at Cisco long term, why didn't you try to go shoot for something maybe that you were looking for immediately? What kind of was your motivation behind saying, hey, okay, I'm going to use this as kind of my catapult to my next position, rather than saying, like, you know, then maybe I can take a different job at the company that I do want to be at, that it's not quite what I want, but it's where I want. So, you know, what was kind of your thought process going into that?
Yeah. Wait, so you're asking, why didn't I start looking right away as soon as I knew?
Yeah.
Well, I think I always knew that it kind of didn't really look that great if you're at a company for like a few months.
Mm.
So I was like, my mindset was like, okay, I'll stick it out for a year.
Mm.
And then maybe I'll like find another role within the company too, because I feel like even 2 years at a company looks better.
Mm.
I was just worried that recruiters and like other companies would be like, oh, she's one of those hoppers. Like, it doesn't, there's so many hoppers nowadays that like just stay in a role for like less than a year and then go to a new role, and people have that on their resumes like 3 or 4 times sometimes.
Mm-hmm.
So I didn't want to like be one of those people.
Yeah, of course.
I wanted to like actually gain like deep experience and like become like an expert at something, and like show that I'm at this company for like 2 years to show that I'm like committed, and then start looking. So after a year, after my year mark, I started really looking for a new job.
Okay.
So that's why,
So in the sense where, you know, like, obviously you didn't want to, you know, hop from one job to another, but kind of you knew early on that that was not the position that you wanted to stay in.
Yeah, so I kind of stuck it out for a while.
Did you have a reasoning for, like, waiting that 1 year mark specifically, in the sense where it's like, I know you wanted to stay there long term, but were you looking at other things earlier on, like, in the position, just kind of seeing what was out there?
Yeah, definitely. Or, like, I think at the 6 month mark, I started looking at like jobs just to see what was out there.
Of course, yeah.
I think I was applying to them for fun, just to see if I would get any like callbacks, but I was like okay with staying for like a year before I really got anything. But I did end up being at Cisco in that same role for like 1 year and 7 months.
Mm-hmm.
So I actually was interviewing for like 7 months. And
wow.
that's how long it took for me to get my job now. It was honestly like such a journey.
Yeah, and that's what we're talking about, like,
yeah.
You know, that transition. And we'll get more into it a little bit later. But like, you know, being able to have to juggle a full-time position
while
applying for 7 months.
Yeah,
you know, really,
it was brutal.
Like, it's a lot to balance on your plate.
Yeah.
So I know you talked about what you really wanted in terms of, you know, a company with the culture, the people around you and things like that.
And so better products really so that I could actually be passionate about.
Got
like,
you.
For me, like, I find purpose in my work when I remind myself of like the bigger picture. I'm like, what is this company doing? Who are they helping? I think about that like every day. So that's the kind of company I wanted to work for, where I know they're like really helping people out there, doing good things, and that's how I find my purpose in my work too.
Got you.
Yeah,
of course, you kind of want to see like a product of what you're doing, right?
Yeah,
like, cog in the machine.
Yeah, because
so,
tech is like one of those industries that's like, it could just disappear and like no one's lives would be that impacted.
Yeah,
but there are some companies I think that like really do help people and are actually making a good impact in the world. So
yeah, definitely. So you didn't see that from Cisco really?
No, they're
point.
like
and so I mean, that's the sense where you knew right, that's like where you would know right away in the product, right? Like what you weren't believing
exactly.
in that. So
like Wi-Fi routers, like, that's cool, I guess, but it's not that exciting.
So then what about like the people? So like in that sense, you know, obviously a transition means like you were in a role for 1 year and 7 months, and you obviously got to know people, and you know, had mentors or friends, you know, people that became kind of more than coworkers to you. So in that sense, you were able to find a little bit of a work atmosphere that you wanted, but it wasn't quite all the way. So how was that when you were transitioning to a new job, you know, kind of breaking the news to your friends, the, you know, people that were in the similar positions as you, and then also bringing that up to, like, people that you saw as mentors, and then your manager as well, because obviously that's not really a comfortable conversation that you can have really with anyone at that company. You know, it's a, you know, it's a sensitive topic. So kind of how did you go about that when you knew for sure, like, it was your time to move on?
Yeah. So I was lucky enough to have a team at Cisco that was, like, felt like family. Like, we were all really close. We all just like it was a team of like women, and they're all really young as well, so I feel like we all really understood each other. So I was able to be open with them that like I was never that happy or saw Cisco as like my end goal. So from the beginning, I was able to talk to them about that, and we were all kind of on the same page. And then in terms of like outside of my team, I was friends with a lot of new grads as well at Cisco, and we were all on the same page too. We were like, oh yes, like we definitely see ourselves going somewhere else after this, like after our roles here. So we all related in that sense. In terms of mentors that I had, I actually wasn't lucky enough to like have a mentor that I could share that with. I kind of just used my mentors as like career growth within Cisco to learn new technologies, to grow the, like pretend like I was going to be there for a while and like ask them for advice on how to do good at Cisco. But I wasn't able to find like one of those mentors that could give me objective career advice. Yeah. So I kind of like just did it on my own, and I didn't have someone to guide me in that path.
Yeah.
And then for my manager, I never told her any of this. She wasn't one of those managers that was super supportive in me going on to another role one day or switching teams one day. She kind of always wanted to like hold on to me and keep me on her team, which I think is a quality of a bad manager. I think good managers should want for your objective career growth. And no matter where you go in the future, if you leave their team or if you leave the company, they should be happy for you and want that growth for you. Yeah, so I didn't have that. So I was never able to be open with her about it.
Oh, definitely. Yeah. And I can see how, like, I mean, for me, like one of the biggest pieces of advice I got, you know, trying to get in, breaking into my professional career, even around the time when I started interning, was when they would say, you know, don't pick a job, pick a mentor, not a manager, but a mentor, someone that can help you grow with. And so I can totally see from your perspective, if you're working at a company that you aren't really already that set on and you don't have that one person to kind of help you grow as like a person or just an overall professional rather than just a professional in that company. You know, that's an area you can kind of get stuck in. So I definitely see where you were coming from, you know, in the sense of you want more, obviously. And so,
yeah, because the culture there was like everyone more senior to me had kind of been there for like 10 years, 15 years, 20 years. So they're very loyal to Cisco.
Very different too, because I mean, if that, say they were there that entire time, if you've been at a company for 15 years, you know, you're in your mid 30s or early 40s at that point, you were in school or in like kind of a different, not era necessarily, but it was a different time period 15 years ago. So they kind of look at things a little bit different than how we probably would for what we're looking for.
Yeah, exactly. They can't really relate to the idea that like you want to hop jobs like every 2 years or something.
And I mean, and that's it. It all ties back into professional development, you know, whatever track you can kind of get on, like what fits best for you. And obviously not hop around, but you know, you have to find a position that you can flourish in. So kind of tailoring that into the next section. This was something that was very interesting to me, and I've told you this before, was you know, thinking about the transition from one job to another. Obviously going to another job is obviously hard to adjust, and we'll get into that more, but you know, also doing that 7-month applying process you were doing. So like, how did you go about, you know, being able to take time while you're working, you know, 40, 45 hours a week, then also interviewing at jobs, looking for new jobs, you know, applying for jobs? Because when I was, you know, a new grad about 7 months ago, and I was going through the application process for my first full-time position, and that was already hard enough.
It's like a full-time thing, working. Right? It takes up a lot of time.
So how were you able to kind of go about that? What was your methodology to that? And like, how were you able to balance that while still being like productive
at work, exactly. Obviously,
because you don't want to, even though you know you're going to leave the company, you don't want to leave a bad impression or you know, not give your best while you're still there.
Yeah, exactly. Because so, like, I still had one-on-ones with my manager throughout that time. She was still assessing my projects and my performance. So like, I definitely had to do it on the side.
Yeah.
So in the beginning, it was more so in the first like maybe 5 months, I was like putting out time outside of work to apply to jobs. Like maybe when I would come in the morning, I would spend like 30 minutes to an hour to like apply to some jobs, see what's out there on LinkedIn. And then I would start my work and then just like grind at work and just do my day-to-day job. And then sometimes I would take some lunches to apply to jobs and like work on my resume. But for the most part, I would actually just work on weekends. Like I actually put in the time outside of my 40 hours of work to like go to coffee shops. Like I would be there was like a month where I was going to Phil's for like every weekend.
And this is to just your apply Cisco to work or apply?
No, to to apply to jobs outside of my Cisco work.
Gotcha.
Yeah. So I definitely like performed well at work and like gave my best and like still was committed to my day-to-day job and my job role. But then outside of work, I would put in the work to apply to jobs and like work on my resume, message people on LinkedIn, do all of that like typical recruiting activities. It was a lot. So I think that's the only way to really do it is to like do it on the side.
Yeah, you like, kind of have to accept that. So, so in the sense, so I mean, like, at least from what I know, some of the interview process that I went through, I mean, it could be as simple as a phone screening, phone interview, on-site interview. But then you have sometimes, like, there's it can go 3, 4, 5 rounds, especially when you're getting into a company like, you know, LinkedIn or Apple or Facebook. You're getting into, like, kind of those bigger named companies. They really want to assess that you're the right fit. So I guess, how are you able to do, you know, one, like, obviously the applying you can do outside on the weekend. But if you wanted to get away for, you know, a phone interview, a like a web interview, or actually, you know, the in-person interviews, because obviously you can't really be doing that on the weekends. How did you go about doing that while also trying to be able to balance the work?
Because, like, recruiters function on normal work hours too, so they have to do it during work hours. So I would just put on my calendar like 30 minutes, or I would put like an hour for the phone interview, even if it was 30 minutes, just so I'd have like time to prepare beforehand and then like some time to like chill out afterwards, because it's pretty stressful. So I would block out my work calendar and pretend I was having like a work meeting, and then no one like at Cisco would book time on my calendar, so that while I was interviewing, but they wouldn't know. And then I would hide away in like a quiet room. So I would do that for both like phone interviews and like video interviews. Just put it on my calendar. And then for in-person interviews, that was a struggle. I think I had like 4 or 5 in-person on-site interviews, and those were like half a day long. They were like 4 to 5 hours long with like multiple people. It was really intense with like managers, people in the team, like directors. So it was like a full thing. So on those days, I would try to schedule them, because like if you're being recruited for a job, they want you. So the recruiter will try to go to your schedule. So there would be some days where like Cisco would have, I would get lucky enough where like my company would have a holiday, and I'd get, but then the other company I was interviewing for didn't have a holiday, so I would schedule it on those days. And that worked out. But for half of them, I like called out sick.
And I mean, you don't really have much choice at that point, because it's, you're kind of stuck between like a rock and a hard place, in the sense where it's like, you know, you want to do what's best for your company that you're currently at, but also, I mean, if you definitely see yourself elsewhere, you have to be able to
take the time. A little selfish.
I think that's one of the senses where I think about too, and like, I don't want anybody to take this the wrong way in the sense when I say it, but when I was applying, and like my mindset on it too was like, even though I could have great managers and great mentors and everything like that, and I loved everybody that I worked with, a lot of times the company in itself, you know, you are still to an extent expendable, you know, in the sense where like they can go find other people, you know, at the snap of a finger, you know, things can change, you know, management, you know, restructures, anything like that. And so you aren't, you know, you're, no one's, I don't want to say in a sense where like you should worry about it, but no one really is safe. Like, you know, anyone can leave at any time on the company's will. For obviously, you know, professional reasons, or like, you know, whatever the structure of the company's going, but you have to be able to do the same. You know, you have to be able to do what's right for you, because you know, anything could happen with this company the next day. So you, you need to do what you can do to get ahead in that sense. And so I know you weren't able to tell people that you were, or, you know, like your managers at your current company at Cisco, but, you know, while you were applying, were recruiters understanding of that, or like were the companies themselves understanding, like, hey, like I have another job, like are they more flexible in that sense, you know, more understanding?
They're super aware of it. Like, recruiters would always like be mindful of that when scheduling. I think they would obviously like try to fit it in their schedule and the interviewer's schedules, but they were, if I would say like, oh, I have a really busy day at work today, I can't do my phone interview that day, they'd be like, that's completely fine. But they understand, like, that you're still employed somewhere and you still have those responsibilities.
So I mean, that, I mean, I'm sure while it was still like a lot of pressure, it kind of at least helps take some of the some of the edge off,
you know, definitely,
like, you know, a company's more understanding of it.
So,
I mean, going into that too, something that I wanted to get into that I thought was interesting, obviously when you're applying for your first position or you're applying for internships, you generally don't have, you know, a lot of experience. Obviously, they're trying to, they're trying to base it off of like who you are as a person, you know, certain, you know, maybe other extracurricular activities that you've done. So in the sense of transitioning from your first job to your second job, now that you did have experience, while you were dealing with all of the external aspects of scheduling, how did you feel the process was now that you were able to say, hey, I have basically 2 years of full-time professional experience in the career track that I want? Did it make it easier? Were, did recruiters treat you differently? Were the processes differently?
Because it's
not like you're no longer like begging for an opportunity
to show that you're competent. I was going to talk about that.
So
I feel like fresh out of college, it's like when you're applying to jobs, they're all new grad positions. And it's kind of like on the basis that you don't have any real experience. They're kind of taking a risk on you, you know, just kind of doing like behavioral interviews, at least for non-technical roles they are. So they kind of like are taking a chance on you. Whereas when you go into your second career after your first job, it's like they really want to know, what did you do? What impact did you make? Mm-hmm. What metrics did you improve? Who did you help? How did you push the bottom line up? Like, how did you do good in your role? And like, very results driven. So they have a lot of questions on like, tell me about your projects. Tell me about what impact you made at the company and your team. Mm-hmm. So they're asking for real results, and they can tell if you're like faking it, if it's made up, if you're BSing. Like, they know. Sure. They dig deep into like each question, look for like evidence that you really did make that impact. So that's why it's a lot more intense, definitely, interviewing for your second role, because they want to see that once you join their company, will you really hit the ground running?
Yeah.
Will you like also deliver that impact once you get there?
Yeah. So would you say that made it, I mean, in a sense, like, obviously, like, I thought the same thing, like, you know, you kind of like not necessarily bullshit your way through your first rounds of, you know, like, out of call at post,
yeah,
like,
they're not asking for as much like, yeah, like proof, oh, that tell you me about a time so
when you led some a team,
yeah, 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 you know, like, it's like behavioral. You
can, like, as long as you understand the company and you kind of get like some of those general questions for your first position,
and you have a growth mindset, you have the like eagerness to learn, that's basically what they're looking for
pretty
in the
much
first role.
So would you say like it's kind of a trade-off, right? Because it's, you know, obviously they're going to get into more specifics, but it's also things that you've done, right?
Yeah,
so
like it speaks for you would for hope itself. That you actually do have real experience to talk about.
So would you say for the first, like, you know, between your first job and your second job, was it easier being able to kind of go about it with the more generalized, like,
not
interview
easier,
format? Or?
It was harder. Like, the first few companies that I interviewed with, it was definitely like, whoa, like, they're asking so much detail about my projects. I have to learn how to talk about them in a way that's like marketing myself in a way and selling myself in a way. So that was a really hard learning experience, is learning how to sell myself in a way.
Yeah.
And like, you do your work day to day, you know, your projects, you know, what impact you're driving, but it's the ability to talk about it in a way that's like selling yourself. That is a thing to learn when you interview for your second job. So that I definitely messed up in like my first couple interviews, but then I got better as with more practice. So that's something that's like, you definitely have to learn.
So even though the interviews were obviously more difficult,
was
it easier, maybe easier is not the right word, but were you more likely to get interview offers based on the fact that you did have that experience? So like, because you obviously you're going to stand more out on paper, and that's, you know, the difficult part is, how can you make yourself, how can you show who I am as a person on a piece of paper, you know, and then get that interview to really kind of bring it to life. So for you, now that you did have that experience, that Cisco was written on your resume, you had concrete proof of projects, was it easier to get interviews?
I don't think it was. Yeah, it was definitely easier to get interviews, I think, than out of college. But I think once you get the interviews, it's definitely harder to prove yourself and like be able to show that you will really be a good fit for that new company. Because they just go into like crazy detail about like your day-to-day, and like, especially when you go on site, it's like they ask so many questions about like diving deep into the details and like technical things as well, and like case studies too, to show that you know how to think about business problems. So I think landing interviews was easy because I had all these things to talk about on my resume. And as long as they fit the job description fairly well, then I was able to land interviews. Like, I think, like, I did apply to a lot of jobs online, and I got a lot of callbacks, surprisingly, like, at a way higher rate, I think, than applying out of college.
Yeah.
Which was cool. It was definitely encouraging in the beginning. I was like, oh, this is really cool, I'm getting callbacks. But then I slowly realized, I was like, oh, shit, like, I actually have to perform well in these interviews and really sell myself in order to actually get an offer. So I interviewed with maybe, like, I want to say like 7 or 8 companies throughout my 7 months.
Okay.
Yeah. And then
is that the full process from like beginning to end?
Yeah. Or? Yeah. I mean, I probably applied to like 100 different jobs.
Wow.
And then from that, I probably interviewed with like maybe 7 to 9 companies, I think, ranging from small to big.
Yeah.
And then like each one had at least like 3 or 4 rounds. Some companies I only got through a couple rounds. Other companies I went through all the way through final rounds. But I actually only ended up getting an offer from LinkedIn. And then once I got that offer, I was like, okay, I'm just going to tell every other company to like fuck off. Like, this is what I want.
That was always the hardest part too, is like, even when you're applying, it's like, once you get an offer, it's a timed offer. And so you're waiting to hear back from someone else, or like,
that's a whole other discussion. Being able to juggle all these other companies too, and like inform them where you are in the process with another company, and like making sure, seeing if you can get multiple offers on the table at the same time, like juggling all that timing.
I feel like that's only easy once you're at like the level of experience where like companies are, you're sought after by other companies. That's true. Or they're reaching out to you, like, you know, you have, like, Facebook saying, like, oh, hey, we've seen you've done all this. Like, you know, come work for us. And, like, they're, you're interviewing them, basically, at that point. So, I guess one good takeaway for a lot of the, you know, like, younger individuals or people that are still in their first position or in college would be to understand that once you transition to that second job, you need to actually be able to understand what you're doing at a very, very detailed level. Whereas in college, obviously, you need to get used to interviewing and being a personable, you know, individual. But, you know, a lot of the questions, they're not going to dig deeper than real surface level. And so that I think that's a really good piece of information for people to know, because obviously, like I said, they're so, people are so focused on getting their first job. Once they get their first job, they'll probably assume it's kind of similar to do the next job, but there's a lot of those, you know, external factors that people don't think about.
I think you can't really learn about, like, what it's really like to interview for a second full-time position until you really just do it. I can, like, give a lot of advice, but I think once you actually practice it and do it, it, that's when you understand really, like, how hard it is and how much detail you need to go into. But I think having, like, mock interviews with friends or mock interviews with your mentor, if you have a mentor at your current company, is a really good thing to practice. Like, I would literally practice some interview questions, like, in front of the mirror on my own, like, just to be able to, like, hear myself talk about it out loud so that I don't trip over my words or I don't say the wrong, like, stuff, you know, like, just being able to practice, I think, is helpful.
And I think that's interesting too, because when people ask me, like, because, like, as you know, I like to talk, I enjoy having conversation with people. I'm doing a podcast pretty much, so if you couldn't you know, figure that out at this point, what I tell people when I go into interview, because I, you know, people will ask for advice and stuff like that, and my only experience is pretty much with, like, intern level, or, you know, like, my first position full-time out of college. And so I always tell people, like, you know, understand yourself as a person, like, where you come from, what you value, stuff like that, because that's what they're going to ask you in that first interview. And once you practice that enough, like I said, they're not, like, first-time jobs, they're not really looking for what experience you have, because they know you don't have that much experience. So what I always tell people,
how you are as a person.
Exactly. So what I always tell people is, like, to work with. It shouldn't be hard to interview, because you're just telling them about you. It's all stuff, like,
that's
about
so true, you. But some people, like, really don't
people have a hard good time
sense
with
of,
that.
Don't have a good sense of who they are or what kind of professional they are. So I think I agree. You need to know that before going in.
And so that's a good base. But now that I'm hearing your experience going into that second job transition too, it's like, studying becomes more important because of the sense where it's like, it is projects you've worked on and is stuff that you've done, but it's more detailed about it. So it's like, I could tell you, like, I've worked on X, Y, and Z projects at my company, but then I also want to know
what impact that had, exactly, what teams that impacted, what results that drove. Like,
so it's definitely going to be a lot more, I would say, practice based, you know, in terms of, you know, going into that deeper level. So that's good.
A good this is, like, very technical, but a good tip that I learned was the STAR method. I don't know if people have heard of that. A STAR method of interviewing. So it's situation. When they ask you about what projects you worked on, it, you talk about the situation that you were in, like, what was the reason that you started this project, the task, so what did you actually do to deliver this project, the action. I think that's also similar to, like, what did you do, what technical things, what tools did you build out, and then results.
Yeah.
So that's a really good. It honestly worked for me, even going into my second job.
For sure. Hey, shout out Josephine Chang for that one. I think my junior year of college.
She's a star.
So yeah, I mean, now looking, we've gone through, you know, being at the job, the position that you were at, understanding that it wasn't for you, the actual, you know, looking for the position, you know, interviewing process. So I would say beginning to mid-transition, and then obviously you're going to have that final end of transition where, you know, obviously you're working at LinkedIn. Congrats again.
Come through for free food.
Yeah, for real. It looks so good on
the food is so
stories.
Good. I think it's the best. The people say it's, like, the best company food.
I've been to the Facebook office in SF.
And I think LinkedIn's better.
Yeah, we get catered lunch at work too. But
we have a Michelin star chef.
Yeah, it was crazy. Like, it was quality level food. Like, you could see it through the camera. Like, that shit was kind of annoying.
If you're listening to this, just hit me up. You can come through for lunch.
For real, we'll give the contacts at the end of the video. So yeah, now that you're there and obviously you're loving it, it's what you were looking for, and I think obviously that shows that it made the 7 months worth it.
Definitely.
But talk a little bit about that transition into the new company. So, you know, now that you're there, you're the new kid again.
You started
from scratch, new team, new position, all of that. So how was your adjustment? I know you're only a couple weeks in, but, you know, being in that early adjustment, how does it feel for you personally? And how does the company kind of helped that transition, I guess. Okay. I would ask, yeah.
Yeah. It's definitely hard. Like, when I was at Cisco, I kind of built a family there. I would walk into the floor and I would have people to say hello to make small talk with, to, like, chat with, and just feel like I'm at home in a way, which was really nice. And that's what kind of kept me there, honestly, for as long as it did. If I didn't have that work environment where people were actually really nice and genuine, I probably wouldn't have stayed as long. So that's why coming into my new company, it's like kind of honestly a little bit lonely. Like, you don't have those relationships yet. You're trying really hard to build them. So I think the best tip when you start a new job is just like, just be open, be genuine, be vulnerable when people are trying to get to know you, when people ask you out for coffee or lunch, just to be nice to invite like the new hire, like say yes, you know, be like a yes man in the beginning. And just put yourself out there, go to any events you hear about, taking up any opportunities, set up one-on-ones with people that you think would be a good connection to have. And kind of just like, this is so cliche, but kind of just like be a sponge, just like with everyone, with information, with learning about your job, with anything.
I feel like that never, I feel like that advice would never get, it can never, you can never hear enough of that.
Yeah,
it's
yeah.
Like, doesn't matter, like. Like, they say, like, doesn't matter how old you get or how much experience you have, like, you still don't know everything.
Yeah, so, exactly. Never. Yeah, you never will.
And it's, like, even if you don't gain, like factual information, I mean, just gaining perspective, like, that's the whole point of, like, doing this podcast with someone. Like, hopefully, it's either someone's going to be going through a similar situation that you are, which everyone will be at some point, obviously, except for the people that stay at one company their entire life. Shout out them if they can do that.
Yeah.
But they're going to be going through that similar, you know, situation that you went through. All, you know, all those aspects kind of wrapped into one. So, and I'm sure that was something that you were looking for in a company though, right? Too, to be able to be a part of an environment where people are more willing to reach out, you know,
friendly, outgoing. The culture there honestly helps a lot. Like, LinkedIn's first, like, company value or employee value is like relationships matter, which really reflects on the platform as well to make those connections professionally and to actually, and people are making all these crazy like posts on LinkedIn nowadays, like just trying to
guilty.
I know, all these cheesy hashtag filled posts, like, just to make those connections, you know. So that's one of the company values, which is really nice. Everyone's really open and willing to get coffee, willing to have a one-on-one with you, to help onboard and ramp you up and teach you about the culture and just like just make a new friend, like everyone's. I'm also in HR now at Cisco. So I'm in an HR team, in an HR function. So I feel like people in HR are naturally more outgoing, younger. So I was lucky enough to land into that type of environment. But at Cisco, I was in IT, so it's definitely more like introverted, older, engineer, working with a lot of engineers.
Yeah.
So it's like complete 360.
Yeah.
So I feel like I'm naturally like thriving in this new environment, which is really nice.
Yeah, I mean, because you're pretty much, I mean, type A,
extrovert
with a little bit
of... I'm not type A.
Okay.
Type B.
Type B, like,
I do not give a fuck.
We'll say, yeah, but like, I mean...
But yeah, I know, I'm extroverted, I'm
but yeah, I mean,
person.
In that sense, too, I think, you know, obviously that... not only helps you in your transition, but I think also having a an environment like that where people are
but
accepting.
I knew that's what I wanted. Like, that's what I was looking for in my next role. I didn't want to be in another, like, super engineering type role or environment, because those people are a little, tend to be more introverted. So I knew that I was looking to be in, like, either a marketing department or HR department or sales department, because those types of people are more outgoing. So I was definitely, like, picky with my next play.
So, yeah, and that goes back to knowing what you want, right?
Yeah.
Like, the biggest part about transitioning is, like, I would say you want, you know, you there's one thing to not like your job, and then you have specific, but it's another thing to know why don't you like your job. Like, what, like, you had specific reasons why you were not happy at Cisco. And so,
and I definitely took time to, like, think about that and, like, sit with myself and understand, like, kind of write a list in my head, like, of things that I don't like. And then, like, translating that to things that I want.
That's so I was gonna say, that's important. It's not enough to just know what you don't like. It's like, what are you looking for?
Because you have to know
if you just go apply to other places and you transition to another job and you don't like it again because you didn't take the time to think, like, what
sucks.
Am I looking for?
And then you're like, I have to start over again. That's exactly what I didn't want. So I was definitely picky. And, like, I even had, like, throughout my process of interviewing, I had some recruiters reach out when after I applied for roles that it sounded not that interesting to me or not that exciting to me. So I actually rejected them too. I should have taken it for more practice with interviewing. But I was like, at this point, I don't want to waste my time with something that I don't think I'll be happy at again.
And it is hard too, right? Because, I mean, like you said, you're so time limited, you know,
while
you're working full time. Like, yeah, it would be good to go get another interview. But it's like, how much time can I take away from work?
Exactly.
All stuff like that. So, I mean, obviously you don't want to, like, you know, impede on that too much. Mm-hmm. So I think that's good too, though. I would say that that's knowing what you want, being confident in what you mm-hmm. want, and being mm-hmm. able to say no to a job. Because, I mean, being able to say no to an offer or an interview is always kind of difficult because yeah. it is an opportunity. But if you're comfortable enough, I think, in yourself, yeah. you know what you're looking for, exactly. then, you know, you don't really think twice about it. So,
yeah, exactly. Yeah, my friend right now is interviewing to get out of her current job that she's been in for, like, a year and a half as well. But she doesn't know what she wants. She's not mm-hmm. sure what type of team, what type of role she wants. And I think that's making it more difficult for her.
Yeah, I mean, I can see that because it's like, that's the saying. It's like you just kind of just going around trying mm-hmm. to see what's available. But
yeah, yeah.
So yeah, I'm sure research, it's research combined with, like, mm-hmm. I feel like anything else in life, you got to think a little logically, but then also have those conversations with yourself. What do you really want? Yeah. Where do you see yourself?
And also utilize a mentor. Like, if there's someone who's in a position that you think sounds a little bit interesting, at least talk to them, have a conversation with them, understand what their day-to-day looks like, and see if that's something that you would really like doing.
Yeah.
And then learn from their career path on how maybe you can start to shape your career path to get there as well.
Yeah.
So I think learning from other people is huge.
And it's important to know, I think, for a lot of people, like, a mentor doesn't have to be somebody that's working at your current company. Like,
yeah.
A mentor could be anybody. It could mm-hmm. be a friend, someone that you look up to, someone that you can go to who's not even necessarily been in a similar position, mm-hmm. but can still kind of give you advice and be honest with you.
Yeah.
I think especially, so I mean, obviously, like, talking about, like, your friend that's looking for other positions, mm-hmm. like, making sure she knows, just be honest with yourself and, you know, really take a step back and think about what you're looking at. Why aren't you happy right now?
Yeah, yeah, so exactly.
What would, you know, what's going to change that? Mm-hmm. And I think another thing I wanted to go back to too is, something that's really important for me, at least, that we touched on is, you know, how you said everyone at LinkedIn is very accepting and very, you know, opening. And obviously it's hard no matter what being the new kid.
Yeah.
So, you know, any way to ease that transition makes it better. And so, you know, like, it's that whole, it's this whole thing of, like, this idea that, like, gratitude reciprocates. So what is done to you, mm-hmm. you know, you can therefore do that to other people, to other new hires, because it's like, mm-hmm. no one likes being that new person that no one knows your name.
It's
you
scary.
Don't know anyone's
name,
like that whole aspect of it. So, you know, hopefully that'll be able to give you opportunities to, you know, make other people feel welcome, because I'm sure LinkedIn's always going to be growing.
Yeah. I've been super thankful for, like, the managers and people that I've had one-on-ones with so far that have taken time out of their day just to, like, welcome me.
Yeah.
It's, like, a favor to me that they, like, accept these meetings, you know? It's not like it helps their work day-to-day.
Yeah, of course.
So the fact that they're doing that for me makes me more willing to do that for anyone else coming in later on.
Yeah. And I would say that's a thing important for anyone to keep in mind, not only if you're transitioning, but if you see someone else transitioning.
Yeah.
You know, obviously... you might tend to forget after enough experience, enough time goes by, but when you see somebody new at your company, just remember what it was like to be like that, and, you know, to understand like how much it means for, you know, anybody, whether it's a coworker, a manager, or someone in a different department, to take that time just to kind of even say what's up. So,
welcome them. Ask them about what they're doing here at the company. Ask them about their past job. Just make that small talk just to get to know them and welcome them. I think it goes a long way.
I think the person takes that a lot more to heart than you would actually think. So we've talked about, you know, the beginning stages of understanding, you know, you didn't want to be at Cisco, the current looking for everything, you know, trying to find that new role, and then also transitioning to the new role at LinkedIn. I'll go ahead and start wrapping it up for you, but I wanted to, if you want to reiterate anything or any of your lessons or experiences along the way in terms of this whole transition, if you want to give any of the two listeners that I'll probably have on this podcast advice.
You and me.
Just let them know.
I think just, like, trust your gut, trust your intuition. If you know that you're in an environment where you don't, where you won't be happy, just trust that and then lean into it. And then I think put in the work outside of your normal work hours to get the next opportunity. I can tell you now, it's definitely worth it. And then have that end goal in mind the entire time to keep motivating you. Imagine you're in your dream company in your next role and you're thriving and you're happy. Just keep that in mind. And I think it'll keep driving you forward. And then if you don't know where you want to be in your next role, if you don't know what you want to do, but you know you're not happy, I would say be curious. Just, like, do really good at your job so that you can learn more things, get more experience under your belt so that you can learn what you like and don't like. And then, like, push yourself out of your comfort zone as well. Try new things at work. Expand your portfolio. Expand your skill set so that you can be prepared for the next opportunity. And again, so you can learn what you like and don't like.
Awesome. Well, Alana, thank you for being my first EP on the podcast.
This was fun.
I feel like it went really well. I know you were nervous, but it was a good time. So, if you want to drop any contacts or a way that people can ask you questions or social media or anything like that, feel free to
slide in the DMs, anything, Instagram.
I'll attach everything on the description pretty much. But like I said in my introduction video, I'm just waiting on approval for verifying my ability to distribute on Apple Podcasts and Spotify. So just stay tuned over the next week for that. This episode will be on Simplecast for the first episode and, like I said, the introduction. So thank you guys for taking the time to sit with me for an entire 40 minutes. Shout out to Alana for great advice and great conversation as always.
That was fun. I'm happy to help anyone that needs help.
Definitely. Advice. Yeah. And that's the whole point of the podcast, being able to create a network where people can reach out or learn or just gain more experience. So thank you, everybody. Have a great rest of your day, and I will see you guys for the next episode.